big, bad, purple, and with rotor blades that look like they could not possibly work, and frequently don't. We're talking the Cobra Mamba attack helicopter in episode 324 of G.I. Joburg. And here are your hosts, Steve, Paul, and Rob.
Whoa!
Oh my god. Where's that footage from? This looks
coming
so cool.
Yes, for those of you listening to episode 324 of G.I. Joburg, we're talking about the Cobra Mamba, a vehicle heavily featured by G.I. Joburg in various play motions, because what you're going to do if you need something big and bad
Hell
and helicopter,
yeah.
This and is Cobra's answer.
Purple.
Rob, yeah. Paul, why are we talking about
Rob
the Cobra Mamba?
Yeah.
Why not? Why wouldn't we talk about the Cobra Mamba? No, this thing is like, whoa, it's a really, really great toy. Like, I don't want to like throw off too much stuff off the bat here, but it's a really fun toy. It's a helicopter. It's a Cobra vehicle. We've been covering a lot of Joe stuff. We needed to cover something Cobra-ish, and it's something we all own and all have thoughts and feelings on.
So, absolutely gorgeous.
We all own it, but I think historically, this is the first G.I. Joe toy that we all had our own version of, our own copy of.
Yeah. Mm. Well, in our case, it was pretty easy. I mean, we bought two at the same time.
Rob and I got them at the same time. Paul, you got some years after from a friend who was at a convention in the United States, and he was like, ooh,
in
there's
LA,
a boxed Mamba.
Yep.
Can I get it for you? And you were like, you couldn't say yes fast enough. So by the 2010s, we each had one of these, and so it was the natural first vehicle for us to review on the channel. Now, review is probably, I don't know, 12 years old by this point. And
oh, my goodness.
I shudder to think what we said on that particular video. So it's about time for a refresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say.
We're
hell
older.
Yeah.
We're apparently wiser. And we're going to talk about the Mamba in its various media appearances first. Making its first appearance in issue 64 of the Marvel Comics. This is February 1988. The issue's name was Maneuvering for Position. And in it, Cobra Commander, a.k.a. Fred Seven, he's arriving at Cobra Island on a tramp fishing trawler, and a pair of Mambas buzz his boat. Of course, he's got the pogo on board, launches, and takes out one of the Mambas before safely landing on Cobra Island. But look at this Rod Wiggum art if you are in a position. Sorry, Ron Wagner. Ooh, Wagner was on pencils at this era of G.I. Joe. And just luxuriating in all the details of the Mamba perfectly picked out.
Yeah. Also, respect to anybody who draws this thing in a comic book, because it's a complicated thing to draw. It's weird.
We have a terrific follow-up appearance in Yearbook 4, also February 1988. Let me see if I can find a good...
The Year of the Mamba.
The Year of the Mamba.
I mean, it came out 87, but I mean, obviously they caught on by 88.
Catch up, didn't they? So this was a vehicle that the October Guard actually commandeered to escape Cobra Island with the captive, or they thought it was Cobra Commander. It was actually a bat in Cobra Commander's armor. Now, Herb Trimpe, the artist, actually drew it's a Mamba in some configurations. I mean, it's got the meshing rotors, but it has a four-person cab or cockpit.
Fascinating.
Very much like the interior of a car. I quite like it. You've got the October Guard sitting comfortably, sort of dual side-by-side seats with the captive, not Cobra Commander, in the back.
It's a very nice variant.
I love it. This is the first comic book appearance that I saw the Mamba being featured in, because I had Yearbook 4 from early on, and I thought that's what the toy actually looked like. I thought, oh, cool. Everyone sits together and they can, like, you know, nudge your co-pilot. Very comfortable. Little did I know how cramped the real thing was. Anyway, that Mamba winds up in the ocean, and G.I. Joe wind up taking it with them this is significant because in its very next appearance, it is the captive Mamba that G.I. Joe is then using to infiltrate Cobra Island themselves. The issue name is
Good Honor.
Divided We Fall in issue 73 of the Marvel comic of July 1988. And this is probably the Mamba's best comic book appearance of all because it's actually being crewed by the good guys. So, of course, it can't die. And it does.
And it did a few improvements. Well, it's not the on the cover. It's not single cockpit anymore.
Yes,
because the one that recovers is the monocockpit. Yeah.
Now that is a bit of a continuity flub. If the one that they got from the October Guard had this sort of four seater variant, and this one is now back to being
they completely redesigned it. My goodness, G.I. Joe improved it. Now, so that means the toy version that we got is actually the G.I. Joe version.
Funny guy. Well, the problem is, in so doing, they've kind of written their own complication because the G.I. Joe team was six guys plus Lift Ticket as the pilot. And they hang a lantern on it. Like, Lift Ticket is in the central pod or the pilot's section, the cockpit. And he's like, he's remarking to the guys jammed into the side pods about how funny they look. This Mamba is a breeze to fly. Plenty of elbow room in the cockpit. Our ground pounder friends aren't so lucky. They're jammed in elbow to elbow, three deep, in pods that were designed to accommodate a single passenger. Like, do you have to be a dick about it, Lift Ticket? Honestly.
Yeah, actually.
So Flint, Tunnel Rat, and Sneak Peek are getting very well acquainted. And in the other pod, Spirit, Gung Ho, and Dial Tone are very well acquainted. Fortunately, Beachhead wasn't on this incursion because, they'd all be complaining about
it. They would have all died.
Though I'm sure, if Gumbo Cookin' is Gung Ho's specialty, he might have some pretty strong odors on him too.
Yeah, true.
Terrific feature.
And of course, Tunnel Rat.
Tunnel Rat, likes tunnels. I mean, if you play him out to be as cliched as Sigma Six, he's probably got some pretty stinky BO as well. The Mamba encounters various Cobra helicopters, but manages to slip into Cobra Island without incident. Kind of.
Fly casual, but not too casual.
Evade two air-to-air missiles. But as I say, without incident, Lift Ticket is able to set the incursion team, the infiltration team down, and then make his escape. And the Mamba makes several key appearances and is definitely like strong eye candy throughout the Cobra Civil War. It is kind of the air support of Cobra Commander's forces. So while Serpentor was rocking more old school tech with the Rattler, the Mamba was the new Cobra Commander's key aerial vehicle. And I must say, against the Rattler, the Mamba gets outclassed pretty quickly. What say you, James?
I hope so. Like, I think it should. Like, a Hilo is a gunship, technically. And it should get outclassed by something technically it's a gunship as well, but it's a jet. And a jet should always be a helicopter. It can't get the altitude, doesn't have the maneuverability. Yeah. It's helicopters are mostly ground pounders. They're not meant to go up against aerial targets.
At least that's what I think. All of this, the Mamba should have won, but
if you've got to go out, you go out in style. It's nice to see. Like, I mean, this is an image that has burned into my brain of a Rattler gunning down a Mamba, which is just like almost a flying fireball of a helicopter at this point. This is taken from issue 74, Alliance of Convenience, from August of 1988. And they even hang a lantern on the fact that Baroness, our Mamba air support is being cut to pieces by Serpentor's Rattlers. I guess it just paints the picture that Cobra Commander and Baroness's assaults on Serpentor's lair is failing badly at this point. Maybe it's got something to do with old school versus new school. Rattler versus Mamba, Hiss versus Maggot.
Should have stuck with the, yeah, the airplanes.
The older tech.
It's strange that, I mean, that's for another episode, but it's strange that the Hiss should suffer to something like the Maggot. But
Well, the Maggot is an artillery piece, whereas the Hiss, I suppose you can get up close and, you know, once they've broken through that artillery barrage, I'd rather be in a more maneuverable Hiss, thanks.
Yeah.
And then we have full-on aerial warfare over Cobra Island in issue 75, September 1988. It's glorious. We've got Mumbas being deployed against Rattlers and Fangs. Battle Force 2000's Vector jet. Is it the Vector? Yeah.
But the Salad Spinner.
The Tomahawk is sent limping with its tail on fire. And then to kind of make things even more interesting, Destro shows up with flight pods. So it's just a lot of cool Cobra and
aerial power. Absolutely crazy. Yeah. Wild.
Much respect to the penciler.
I don't have any criticisms to draw at this stage because the Mamba was absolutely what Cobra needed when it arrived. Like, it's almost the vehicle that they didn't know Cobra needed as badly as it needed until it was there, because it is absolutely soaking up panel after panel after panel in that era of G.I. Joe and beyond.
It's a gorgeous design, and I mean, they also treated it fairly. You know, it didn't win every single fight it up went, you know, went into.
Well, it's a Cobra vehicle and a helicopter, so like, it's kind of like the boss to beat. You know, we got to down that Cobra helicopter. It's vulnerable, but it's also ferociously armed, so it's that ultimate opponent. It did not have any cartoon appearances.
Vehicles this is Zero sad. That is,
which is
one
so
of the
weird.
Most depressing things.
But I think it was animated. There is an animated version of it somewhere.
Cobra Mamba. It's commercial.
For the animated. Yeah.
Yeah. Glorious ad. And a jingle. If you are not familiar, I'll include the link down below. It's wonderful.
There's no rumba from the Cobra Mamba. No.
I couldn't remember it if I tried at this point. It's
no, man, I'm making
my
that
research,
up, dude.
But I couldn't do a better version than the original artist. So please listen to the jingle and then come back and listen to us some more. But the Mamba was featured in Pixels, was it not, Paul?
Atlantis Factor, the second G.I. Joe video game, actually has a very sneaky appearance by the Mamba. It kind of sweeps up above you, shooting at you and deploying missiles. And they're kind of a pain in the butt. And unless you're a G.I. Joe fan, you wouldn't really think much of it. You'd just think of it as some kind of, I don't even think you would think of it as a helicopter. You'd just think of it as like a jet or something that's flying above you. But if you're a G.I. Joe fan, you know. This is my first encounter with the Mamba. And this is where it gets a bit weird. The Mandela effect being what it is, I kept thinking that this was always in the first game. Yeah, it's a vehicle I just keep thinking is in the first game. And I keep thinking that you see the Mamba in the background. But
you're referring to the first Nintendo game?
NES game. Yeah, yeah, the first NES game. Yeah, because
I mean,
sorry.
Historically, the first G.I. Joe game was a pile of crap. Ain't no Mambas in that shit.
But yeah, like, it's just because I even scrubbed footage of the first G.I. Joe NES game quite a few times to see if I was wrong, if I misremembered. Turns out I did misremember, because the vehicle that's actually in there is Destro's Dominator, which we know is also a two-headed-ish kind of helicopter or helo.
With tank treads.
So yeah, there's that. And then I thought, oh, wait, maybe it was the arcade game. And the arcade game also, no dice.
That's
again, Dominator. No Mamba in the arcade game, which is weird because I can't, for the life of me, I'm sure it was in there. But anyway, whatever. That's how these things go.
I'm getting like an image in my head of it like coming at you straight on.
Right.
I don't know why. Yeah. Like, it's in my mind. I can see it. Like, it's just attacking you straight on.
But it's
the Dominator.
Oh, my God.
Red
is that what it
purple,
is?
But
guys,
I mean, I even
if
thought
you view it head on, the document probably has a lot of similar profile.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's what's happening. We're dominating our minds.
It's been dominated us. And then the arcade game, because I thought, surely after the arcade game, what other G.I. Joe games have there been? And so there's been the Rise of Cobra, that absolute gem of a video game. Sarcasm for anybody that can't pick it up. And I do recall fighting a gunship in that game as a boss. Not only can I not find a gunship boss in any gameplay footage, but that gunship I always thought was the Mamba for some reason. It's not, and not in the DS version either. So the next place that I could find a Cobra Mamba was here in the mobile game. The modest little, what is it, G.I. Joe vs. Cobra, or whatever it was called on mobile. I can never remember this damn name. But this game was fun. It was like a Clash of Clans kind of reskin. And the Mamba design itself in this game is so rad. Because it's a little bit toy and a little bit like kind of feasible for its world, but it's so cute. I would kill for like a set of all of the vehicles from this video game. I thought they were so well designed.
It has a very short tail.
Yeah.
Yes. So Nunu's.
It's like the chibi version.
Yes. And if you check it out here, there's some gameplay on screen now. We got the Mamba, and it's a fairly, like, it's a kind of top-down shot as it is in the game, like top-down sort of pseudo isometric that they have. And you can see its proportions are really well handled. And there's a Black Dragon VTOL here as well. And so they're working together. It's quite sweet. And according to this video that I watched to, you know, check it out, because I never unlocked the Mamba in the mobile game.
Same. I was like, I remember seeing it, but I know I didn't have it in my arsenal.
Yeah, I think that was the last vehicle. It was this and the Tomahawk.
Skystorm?
That were like, I remember the Tomahawk and the Mamba being like a thing that you could like pay money into to get them to buy them as DLC. And like, I don't do that pay to play shit on mobiles. So even though I work in that industry, I just don't do it. And yeah, guys, damn. It's a cool vehicle. It's apparently really brutal. And those are all of the like video game appearances of the Mamba that I could find to date. If there's something I don't know about, let me know. Yeah,
I'd forgotten about the mobile game, but yeah, that's probably where it's looking best. And it actually handles and flies as it should. Too bad it was, you know, a crappy game.
It's sad. It was such an awesome vehicle. I mean, it's had such few media appearances, you know, other than in the comic books. I mean, the comic books kind of like have to do the heavy lifting. You know, kind of show off how cool this vehicle is to people. And
the we'll always have the toy, guys.
Yeah. Which is
fabulous.
I have the toy.
Thank you to 3D Joe's, Cosmo Texas.
As always.
Sterling Work, sir, for providing us excellent images to spin. Oh, don't you just love doing that?
I do.
The box back gives us some information on what the hell the Mamba's meant to be. Oops. Always ready to inflict its fatal strike, this supersonic twin rotor attack helicopter has a dual surprise. Detachable flight pods with opening canopies. Wow.
The dual purple surprise.
Did the canopies even open?
So you canopies even open.
Figures in them. Oh my God. That's so cool.
Okay, apart from it saying that this is a supersonic helicopter, oof, what is this? Airwolf?
What is that?
It fails to mention the most standout feature of the Mamba, and that's its meshing rotor blades.
Yeah, two propellers.
What the hell is this rotors thing? Rob, you got any insight?
Well, I mean, so as opposed to like a normal helicopter, which is, I suppose you can refer to as a unicopter, technically, this is one of several types of designs where there are two main rotors, and this is probably the weirdest version. I think probably the version that people are most used to knowing about is probably the tandem rotor helicopters, which is similar to the Tomahawk, where the rotors are in alignment, you know, front to back. So one in the front, one in the back, and that's kind of how they operate. And then there's a similar design to this one where they are placed side by side. That's called transverse rotor helicopters, and that's like the Osprey, but they're kind of far enough away from each other where they don't actually touch. But apparently, a dude in Germany decided he wanted to design a version And it's called the intermeshing rotor helicopter. So how it works is that they're not placed far apart. They're placed close together at an angle, which then allows the blades to be much closer together. And they have a design where, obviously, like the toy, they spin in such a way that they don't hit each other. And apparently this makes it a very stable platform. It has incredible lifting power, which is where you'll find in the real-world counterpart of this that's still in service today, the Cayman K-Max or K-1200, which is used in lifting tons of cargo stuff or sort of heavy payloads. It's used in firefighting and casualty evacuation. But yeah, it's a cool design. So you don't need any tail rotor. So you don't need any tail rotor, which means it's not directly going up with either rotor. Wait, what am I saying? Yeah, no tail rotor. But the way it works, because of the alignment, it's actually not going straight up. So even though it saves power, because apparently the tail rotor uses a lot of power, it's actually very less efficient than other designs because it is not lifting itself straight up. It's using these two, counter-rotating rotors to kind of move upwards. And it's crazy because also depending on how you change the pitch of the one rotor or the other, that's how you change the yaw of the craft.
I was about to ask about that.
Yeah,
so you the pitch advantages that more. Are six of one, half a dozen of another. I mean, what it trades for reducing, the need for a tail rotor, it loses power by having these offset angled main shafts. But you cannot deny that it is a very striking design.
It looks so cool.
To my child brain, looks like it shouldn't work. Every time I saw this on the comic book page, I was like, what the hell am I actually looking at? Until you actually own the toy and you give it a spin, you don't comprehend this concept.
It's absolutely wonderful. But as an aside, this guy, Anton Fletner, who's the guy who essentially invented this way of the thing doing, he was very inventive. Like, he invented tons of stuff and he loved wild, crazy ideas. He was probably one of the first guys to invent a remote-controlled combat car for the German army. Although they decided not to use it because they thought it was a silly idea, apparently.
Groans.
And
this will never take off.
Nah, it will never take off. As well as steerable torpedoes. He was one of the first guys to come up with that for the.
That's a smart
idea. He designed that for the German army.
Using a TV camera?
Military. Well, I think so, yeah. Well, no, it wasn't. It wouldn't have been a TV camera. This would have been in, I think, World War II or World War I. Yeah. So it would have been way earlier. I mean, but it just allowed it. I think. So, I don't know. I didn't look exactly into it. I was just like, this is interesting. He's an inventor. He invented. But yeah, he went through his entire life inventing absolutely tons of stuff. And a lot of his stuff went off to influence a lot of other things.
Cartoons, mostly, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it just serves to highlight the point that G.I. Joe toys look weird and wonderful at times and seem to have no bearing on reality, but you will find that there's some inspiration drawn from a real concept.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Cobra Mamba included.
I was going to say something on the topic of the pops quickly. Sorry, Steve, before we take a look. There is a helicopter called the Hokum, which has it's also got a dual propeller system, but it's actually two propellers, two rotors on the same prop shaft, basically.
And they kind of stand one on top of the other.
And it's interesting because that also gives it, enhanced lift, blah, blah, blah. It's also the first helicopter to have an ejection system as well, which is interesting.
All right. Well done.
The reason I'm bringing it up is I'm surprised we've never seen G.I. Joe take that idea or that concept. Is it perhaps, do you think it might be because it's a Russian concept?
Oh, interesting.
I suppose, by the 80s, the Germans were our friends. The Russians were not. Interesting point.
Or externally, it doesn't look interesting enough. I mean, it's kind of cool.
This is far more striking. It's like, it baffles the brain. Rotating,
visually, it just looks like this. But it probably is. It's a Cold War thing.
Maybe. So the Cobra Mamba has various points of armament, as you could expect from something that is fulfilling the role of an attack helicopter. Starting with the guns, 9mm rapid rate of fire machine guns that are called Serpentor. I feel like he was naming a lot of things after himself at this point. The pods seem responsible for the guns and the anti-tank missiles, because each pod has four Nemesis anti-tank mini missiles. Oh, wait, let me correct myself. Standard armament is four in total, so two on each pod. However, Rob, I recall whoever sold us our Mambas gave us eight extra missiles.
Yeah. We have like so many of these bloody things.
Because it's ambiguous.
I even know about that.
You can put the mini anti-tank missiles as intended on the upper surfaces of the outer wings on the pods.
Yeah.
Or put them underneath, sort of underslung. And you can even put them underslung on the inner wing. So the part of the pod that is like almost making contact with the body of the helicopter, you can have missiles underneath it.
Yeah. Ours are way overpowered. Like we so much equipment.
Like having them underneath the wings, because that feels more like a realistic placement. One of my key criticisms of the Mamba is that it comes from an era where missiles were just slapped onto every available flat surface.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes to the detriment of this thing. The missiles are notorious for just like being easily bumped off. So you've got these short anti-tank missiles, but you've got these long supersonic anti-aircraft missiles, which are called Diabolos, not to be confused with the double Diablo cannons of the Hiss tank. But they're called supersonic. I think maybe the blueprints maybe they misspoke there or erred, because most air-to-air missiles are supersonic. That's nothing new. Maybe these were supposed to be a foray into hypersonic missiles, giving the Mamba the ability to knock out very fast-moving targets.
And they look awesome, too. Like, these things, they've got cool fins on them. They just look deadly. Like, you want to kill someone with these.
It feels like the fins are a design aesthetic that they've chosen to use on all the missiles. They all have these forward-facing prongs.
Mm.
And the bombs, too. So, in terms of dumb armament or bombs, you've got two. And they're not called out on the blueprints or the box back, because they are underneath the vehicle. But there are two missiles of a sort of medium size, bomb-dropping tabs, bomb-releasing tabs. And then one massive, it could be a missile. I'd like to think of it as like an anti-shipping missile even. But there's a massive centrally located bomb or missile, which also is not called out on the blueprints.
Yeah.
And I didn't even mention it. Useless.
Like, that's the one you want to know about. Like, that's the missile that Serpentor's named after. It's probably called like a three-prong Serpentor missile. Because he's not going to name himself in the small missiles after himself. You know, he's got Serpentor. It's like my Serpentor cannon, my Serpentor missile.
It's called a large bomb on the instructions. So perhaps the intention is for it to be a bomb.
So detailed.
So while this is one of the cool standout features on the Mamba, especially for its loadout, my word, are those three super irritating. And I especially mean the little bomb that sits on the wing. Mm-hmm. When you want to deploy it, and I don't know if this has been your experience and to our viewers and listeners, your results may vary. But when you want to deploy it, it's really difficult. And when you don't want to deploy it, you're just moving it, say, from your shelf. It just falls off.
All on its own. Yeah. I've had that happen.
It's so annoying. Here's my hack, guys. You need to wedge it. And I don't have a Mamba to hand. So I can't easily demonstrate this.
Damage my Mamba.
I will take a fire bat. Whoa. Also, fabulous demonstration. We should do this. Mm. So wedge it. I'll make myself big too.
Whoa.
Wedge it
make
so
my
that
monster grow.
The forward part of the bomb is pointing downwards. That will mean that the part that has the tab release button will be the point of most friction.
And it'll create leverage. Yeah.
Yep. So when you release that tab and nudge the back end of the bomb, the whole thing should come off quite easily.
This is so cool.
This is what you come here for, folks.
This is, you know,
toy hacks.
My man holding out on us with decades old information. One of my favorite details.
Guys are being facetious or not? But
no, I'm for sure. One of my favorite details.
With my mumba a lot.
Hell yeah! I love that the pods are called malt.
Yes.
Which I think is really cool. Mumba offensive light tactical attack pods. Which I think is so cool because it malts them, you know, like, you know, the skin shedding. It's such a cool little detail. I think that's
very serpentine.
It's hilarious.
I mean, I always think of a bird losing its feathers, but yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like snakes shed their skin too. In fact, Grim, I've seen a lot of snake skins here in the wilds of Australia. And I'm like, oh, God, there's snakes everywhere.
It's Australia. It's Australia.
There is a lot of dead spider carapace you can glean from the Gyro Viper's file card. Does anyone want to take a crack at giving us a read?
Ooh, Gyro Viper.
Screen's very far from me.
All right, I'll do it. The coordination necessary to pilot a helicopter is akin to operating a yo-yo with your left hand while spinning a pie plate on the tip of your right index finger while you're balancing full glasses of water on top of your feet. Piloting an attack helicopter in combat is like doing all of that while riding a 12-point buck through the woods in the middle of hunting season. Mumba pilots have to be pretty nervy just to get through the training program. Rob, take it away with the quote.
Oh, attack helicopters come in two varieties. Bigger, heavily armored, slower ones, and smaller, faster ones with no armor at all. Mumbas fall into the latter category. Gyro Vipers tend to be fast, decisive thinkers with a self-assured confidence in their flying skills. And they don't look back.
Whoa. Well, no shit, they can't look back.
It's true, they're actually. That helmet, I mean, that giant like VR headset they're wearing, like there's no ways they're looking behind them.
With the blast shield down, it's too hard to see. How am I supposed to fly?
I was waiting for that line.
It's too easy. Low-hanging fruit, maybe. Look, it's an interesting look, but the text of the file card, the two key points that I want to pull out of that is, firstly, flying a helicopter is extremely complicated. So it is great that Gyro Viper is able to spread the workload to the people in the pods. I'd like to think those pods are responsible for the guns and for the anti-tank missiles, at least. Maybe they control other weapon systems too.
Yeah, like and whatever's directly attached to their pods is what they're responsible for. That makes sense.
Yes, good. But if there are control linkages to the main craft, maybe they can also be responsible for the missiles, the air-to-air missiles, and the bombs. But the other point that I pull from the file card is that, at least in the mind of the author, this is not a big, heavy helicopter. This is a nimble, light attack helicopter, which is interesting because it is Cobra's biggest. You know, it dwarfs the Fang, obviously, and the Fang 2. But it is still considered a light attack helicopter. It's thin around the gills, not heavily armored. It's a hit-and-run vehicle, quick strike, very much part of Cobra's ideology, general ideology. But it's heavily armed. And, I mean, on the battlefield, a helicopter is a juicy target. I mean, it is an immediate threat to any ground opponents that it encounters. It is the sort of key threat. But it is also not fast and is airborne, so getting a clear shot at it is a piece of cake. So by being a Gyro Viper, you're signing up to be you have to be very on your toes, fast twitch muscle, a nervy guy. They call them nervy in the file card, and like, yeah, you're a massive target on your back at all times. You have to be super sneaky and super evasive to survive. So just makes these guys out to be quite impressive pilots, actually.
But aren't they also modified? Or is that... No, the Gyro Vipers aren't. It's the AVACs that are.
We're thinking of... No, AVACs are... They're just tough guys. They're suicidal is what they are. I think the modification comes in with the Strata Vipers, the Star Vipers, and then I'm blanking on something else. Oh, Vapor. Vapor's got the shunt right to his brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just had a look at the blueprints. I thought I'd share. I'm not sure which issue it's from. I've pulled this from yojo.com. But the order of battle for the Mamba is awful. It is. Oh, it's so ugly.
Is it basic?
Somehow they've drawn it in the most unflattering angle. Essentially, we have like a like side-on view.
I'm going down.
And I mean, obviously, I think we've always seen discrepancies between the blueprints and what they decide to say in the order of battle. So whereas in the comics, at least in his first appearance, you can have four people in there. The actual toy itself can have three. According to order of battle, this can have two. It has a two-man crew when fully loaded. They're just basically completely forgetting about the pilot himself.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. And its armaments are very different. It's got six laser-seeking anti-tank missiles and six 50-cal machine guns with 1,000 rounds each. Six 50-cal. I don't know where those things are on this thing.
I think this thing will burn ammo before it tries to burn fuel.
where were they pulling it from? Buster. Some kind of prototype, maybe? Prototype images?
It could be. I mean, it really just depends on when this was published. I mean, if anyone knows, let us know in the comments and we can
The art is on model.
Oh, for sure. Even though it's an ugly angle.
It's after 1987. So, I don't know. Getting those stats wrong at this point, it's kind of unforgivable. They really just made this up.
It's hilarious, though. Like, I don't understand what they were smoking when they came up with that.
Rob, I'm so glad you actually pulled up an image like that, because there's something about this helicopter I want to speak about quite badly as well. Aside from the awesome three-seaterness to it, this Hilo's got quite an insidious design, because firstly, it's got kind of a small, wide, but flat profile. So, you know, I suppose from a visual stealth point of view, it might be able to blend in with the horizon. But then again, everything can blend in with the horizon. So I'll write that off. But the fact that it's got three pots that little excerpt that they described it as being a two-seater, as if it only has two pods, that's actually one of the Mamba's secret advantages, because the third pod is kind of recessed. And the other two are out in the front. And so they are more likely to take fire than the pilot.
Oh, no, absolutely, yeah.
Which is so evil, actually, if you think about it. And also, at a quick glance, you don't realize that this thing is a three-seater. The silhouette implies that it's a two-seater with the two little bumps that go forward if you look at it from the top view. And so, naturally, you're seeing this thing, and you're going to hit what you think looks like the canopy. And so you're going to even draw your fire to the side pods or to the...
Yeah, you're more likely to hit it because it is recessed like that. But I mean, it does have a really nice profile. Like, it is so low and sleek, like the entire helicopter. I mean, I'm not used to seeing helicopters like this. You know, they usually kind of have like a big bulbous thing in the middle, that the little, legs come out the bottom quite far.
Definitely points to Dave Kunitz for designing a truly unique vehicle for Cobra here.
Hell yes.
Whereas Cobra of the sort of the first phase of G.I. Joe was like just slapping Cobra stickers and a black or purple paint job on like a conventional looking craft. I'm looking at you, yes. Rattler, and you, Fang. Here we have something that is truly signature characteristic Cobra that resembles nothing in the real world. So there are disadvantages to going off-piste. And I already mentioned the fact that I don't like the fact that it's just got clusters of weapons slapped onto spaces of the aircraft that shouldn't be holding weapons. Like, it doesn't have stub wings like a Tomahawk or a Dragonfly. It's just, it's on the fuselage and it's always in danger of being knocked off. You know, it's just this cluster of red stuff,
No, it's a silly place. And also being on the top versus being underneath, underslung. Yeah. It's also very odd. I also love that this is one of the vehicles that starts the... it's starting, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like the Mamba is where the purple starts for Cobra. Oof. Because it's the Mamba and then the Fang. There's the Dreadnought cycle that gets quite a lot of purple. But before then, I'm struggling to think of other purple G.I. Joe vehicles.
Yeah. Cobra Blue, Cobra Black, Cobra Red. But yeah, purple
Cobra
really
purple
announces itself broadly with the, mm-hmm. the Mamba.
It's gorgeous. Purple with the red canopies.
The malt pods and their function. Because in terms of practicality, it really hurts the vehicle. Like, it throws the weight too severely to the rear. This thing can no longer land properly once the pods have been deployed. It like hits its tail. And it just doesn't look great. So it definitely diminishes the craft in some ways. But in game, the advantage to having your own rocket-powered wingman, that'll
so
quickly turn the tide on your opponent. Like, the Mamba's all of a sudden able to SWAT aircraft. It's just a pity that the malt pods don't have any anti-aircraft armament. Like, you want to send your rockets after the Sky Strikers and Conquests, but like all they've got are 9mm machine guns.
The ground, yeah, and the little bombs.
Yeah, so that's a missed opportunity there.
It's a manned chaff.
So, yeah, I suppose it is a distraction. But it's totally in line with Cobra to have these very fast, very dangerous, and very single-use like weapons. It's like, we're in a desperate situation. Off you go, guys.
I parachute
out to safety, or is it like a suicide bomber?
I think that they're meant to be like a crash pod. Like,
yeah, I think so. I mean, there's designs, like on the bottom, there's kind of like little tubes that seem to be on the sides,
which
I would imagine are kind of like, you know, so they can kind of, to a certain degree, or at least kind of help it, you know, buffer before it hits the ground. So it kind of comes in, it goes,
flares, and then
flares. I think so. Or if it is able to, what it could do could actually even reverse its movement. So it could kind of come in backwards, you know? So it kind of slows down. Yeah.
I'd be scared of that.
Crashes into the ground.
Yeah. But no rear view mirror on this thing.
Ooh. But nice spot there, Rob. Like, I wonder how many people have noticed that.
You know, I've always thought that it's in both sides.
That it's got a sticker to pick out the HUD. This is an innovation of Cobra vehicles around this time.
Well,
to put stickers on the glass. But it's detailed. All three canopies have one, or should have one.
Should be inside.
Also has stickers on the inside, so the stickers do bring out some great details, particularly on those pods, which would otherwise just be coffins.
Yeah, absolutely amazing use of stickers. I think on the Mamba, like very varied. It's not just the typical nose steps; like they actually are very purposeful to making the vehicle more detailed. More interesting.
And something I'd like to call out on the blueprints while we are on the topic of the pods, the fact that like they have the machine guns, and one would assume then that the pod pilots are responsible for those machine guns, but each pod has a FLIR, a forward-looking infrared radome, which is basically like a camera that most attack aircraft have. You know, it allows you to see heat sources. It's a camera that can move around and look at the ground and basically direct your weapons where you need them to fire by identifying heat sources of other vehicles and enemy equipment. And that always makes me feel like the guns should be on a mount that can any attack helicopter. I think it's a pity that the guns are in these fixed housings, but at least in my imagination, I'd like to think that the Mamba's guns can kind of, you know, pivot around and engage targets, just thereby maximizing what the guys in those pods can do. They can't point the nose of the helicopter where they want it to go because that's the pilot's job, but they can take command of those guns and engage multiple targets, which just makes this thing even more exciting to play with.
It's just a pity the toy doesn't have that as a feature, but it's well, it is really cool.
Use your imagination.
You know? You can use your imagination, surely. Like, that's not an issue.
But this thing, once it's got a target or multiple targets in its sight, it can make one hell of a devastating single pass with you know, the pods going ham with their guns and anti-tank missiles, the pilot dropping bombs.
Yeah, you have no idea what to target, you know. It's one aircraft comes in and suddenly you're being attacked by three. It's quite an advantage.
And they get to pick the targets. I mean, it's left and right picks the target. It's great. Guys, this thing, the Mamba is, and this is why it's like just regrettable that the front guns don't swivel, because there's so much detail on the Mamba. Although, giving it some thought now, maybe it's a good thing that they don't swivel, because then we would have missiles that fall off every now and then pirates that get like floppy.
Loosey,
so maybe it is good that it's fixed and that we can use our imagination to go forward with it. But
it's very detailed. Ooh. Yeah, dude, it's incredible, hey?
Oh, dude, I love
it's
how
smooth, like, where it needs to be smooth, and then it's incredibly complex in some areas. Yeah, it even makes has it a very removable... difficult to
dust.
Yeah, true. I just dunk it in a soapy bath typically. It has a removable engine cover, which the blueprints actually call out as being like a stealth element to the helicopter.
Stealth feature.
Yeah.
It covers the engine so it doesn't make a noise.
Well, no, it's called a SMASH sensor system, Mamba air suppression and heat reduction noise eliminator. So this thing is allowing the Mamba to run a bit cooler and also run a bit quieter. I imagine with those double rotors, it could be fairly noisy. So any kind of noise dampening devices, this SMASH system would be welcome, I'm sure.
Super helpful. So useful.
I mean, not an actual source of truth, SMASH. But the G.I. Joe mobile game allows the Mamba to go invisible, to cloak itself.
Ooh.
But that is because it has a stealth mode. So whether it's actually invisible or just stealth. That's
cheating.
But it is cool to know that the mobile game guys looked at the actual file card or looked into the actual vehicle itself to derive that stealth concept from the actual blueprints and stuff. That was actually cool. That respect to those guys.
Although, I mean, yeah, they misread what they meant by stealth, but it's still cool that they interpreted it.
Well, I mean, when you're in a game design situation like that, and you have to glean information of as little as you can of little text, you have to get game design out of little bit.
No, absolutely. I'm not completely knocking them. You know,
you see something like that, and you're like, "Yep, it's going invisible." That's it. There's no argument. But on the details, one of my absolute favorite pieces of detail on this are right there by the engine cover. It's the two gray engines by the props, the rotors. I love that. I love that because we have so much single molded engine stuff in the G.I. Joe toy line that when you see it, some detail popped out like that, it's got a different color. It's even a slightly different material. It's just nice, and it should be enjoyed while we got it. And also, not too much of a small thing either, but the exhaust ports, although they might be a pretty mundane and inane kind of detail, the fact that they're fully rounded and are actually holes, they don't have an impression of having a hole, and they're not like cut in half. Separate
piece, you know?
A lot of G.I. Joe vehicles tend to also have, or when I say a lot of G.I. Joe vehicles, there are quite a few vehicles in the Joe toy line that do have half exhausts or molded exhausts or exhausts that are like sort of molded there but like in the wall of the toy and don't really protrude or come out like this, like a separate piece. So quite appreciate that detail as well. It's something to be respected. And it also seems to have a little comms package or something there on the back, which is quite cool as well. So
yeah, like, in the middle of
so that's fun. Anyway, yeah, I had to point that out because I remember when I saw the Mamba, for the longest time, I just saw really interesting purple helicopter with detachable front pods. It's only when I pulled my own Mamba out of the packaging that I realized, wow, this thing's a treasure, like a visual treasure trove. It's just got so much stuff happening detail-wise.
And it just feels like a
pilot. Let's not gloss over the fact that it came with a very good pilot. Understated, but gyro vipers are not
crazy cool, but you know, he looks the part, you know.
Oh, look, any pilot figure that has a knee board with like a target on it. So
good.
Hell yeah.
A win.
I believe if the lore is correct, this is Mark Pennington, the figure designer's alma mater.
Really?
He wanted to go home and bomb his own university.
Good memories.
Yeah. Also, or at least Cobra was attacking his old university. Maybe he was one of the Joes trying to defend it. But
something you might notice, I mean, I'm almost certain Steve has this too on his, but the face shield on the helmet can be exceptionally tight, depending on your toy.
Oh,
and you will find that the nose. Of your Viper will more often than not be completely sort of like rubbed off. And you'll foul see nose, that paint inside the helmet.
Wow.
So there it is. His little nose. Yeah. So the chances of you getting a perfect version of this is probably going to be very difficult, I think, because the helmet, once it goes on, it's tight because this guy's head is quite beefy.
Frequently, gyro vipers were depicted without their helmets on.
Wild.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't because it is not an easy thing to get on because you do actually end up kind of clipping his nose as you kind of like put the helmet down. So that's where that effect comes from, where the nose itself kind of gets smaller over time.
Yeah, look, there's all sorts of mistakes happening in the Cobra Island Civil War, mixing up gyro vipers wearing their helmets with the pilots of the Vector Maverick. But that's you know, another point altogether. The figure itself seems deluxe. It feels like Cobra driver figures were really standouts of 1987. The Ice Viper, Gyro Viper, Maggot. That's his name. Not Maggot. Worms.
Worms. Of really, the Maggot.
Really good Cobra driver figures with removable helmets all. And Gyro Viper, accurate wrinkles on his flight suit. So looks like he's wearing a life preserver that he can inflate. Harness. Pistol, tempo, map, kneeboard, the red piping, just adding. I mean, they didn't have to, but the red piping on the suit.
Little silver bits as well picked out. I mean, he's got just enough, colored variation on him, which is awesome.
And not a typical Cobra uniform color.
Yeah. Ooh. And it would later be repurposed for... Skydive.
Yeah. The Sky Patrol guy.
The Sky Patrol guy. The old man from Sky Patrol.
General Dad. Yeah.
Yeah, my Major Dad. So, guys, I'm going to say it here, and I think it's worth mentioning. I love Strata Vipers. You cannot take the sexiness away from a Strata Viper for me. But with its helmet on, the guy at the Gyro Viper is possibly the best pilot figure, like suit and all, in G.I. Joe. That's my take on that. Like, I love the Strata Vipers because they have their own thing going. But if you need to troop build, if you want to like get realistic looking pilots in all of your vehicles, Gyro Vipers are the way to go. If you want to
I absolutely agree.
If you want to put your G.I. Joes in flight suits,
augmented reality of some kind, it's adding a sort of visual feed,
maybe
like a Raptor pilot.
It might do that.
So that's perhaps the intention behind it being this kind of flat piece that he's getting.
Yeah, shaped it. Yeah,
digital readouts.
Yeah,
guys, that brings me to the next point, which is if you got a Gyro Viper in the very cramped cockpit, that is a problem. Who's in your pods?
Who is in my pods? My God, two more Gyro Vipers.
I know, right?
It's tempting. If you got him, right? You know, stack him in there if you got him. For me, it's obviously the Gyro Viper in the middle pod. I often like to put Astro Vipers. For some reason, I just feel Astro Vipers are cool. That can be a bit of a tight squeeze. The Astro Viper is quite fun. Targets, I like the target, even though technically it wouldn't travel in a Cobra vehicle. Also kind of nice. Also a little bit of a tricky fit, so just be careful when you're trying to get it in there. But bats. Man, I love bats being in these things because you're basically deploying a bat. And that's horrible. Like
that is actually a really good option.
Yeah, so that's what I like for them.
Hell so once you ditch the pod and it's burnt up all its fuel and needs to kind of land, the bat gets out and just continues to wage war on the ground.
Yeah, it's like his entry vehicle, you know? He rockets in, he crashes to the front door of your bunker, and he bursts out, and he's just...
It's a smart bomb.
You probably like aim the pod at a target and then leap out, because we all know bats, they leap out of aircraft without parachutes, and maybe they make it, maybe they don't, but that's how they roll. And so maximum collateral damage, maximum splatter.
One hopes that the pods are cheap to make, though, because I mean, if you're firing these things off all the time, like I don't see how you would reattach these in the middle of a battle.
No, I don't think there's any means of recovery.
Not easy.
Like, not in the moment.
Dang.
I used to have, for some reason, multiple versions of Scrap Iron's sort of first figure. So, like, comic pack, there was another release. We just had lots of Scrap Irons all of a sudden.
Yeah, we did.
Original. And I think, Rob, your Scrap Iron came as, like, a little bonus with our numbers when we got them.
Yeah, so it was
really like Scrap Iron.
So cool.
Does seem to have a sort of like, well, it looks more like a Russian tank commander, if I'm honest. But his helmet would be a helicopter pilot helmet. Or sort of, yeah.
And the can see that, yeah.
So if you have multiple Scrap Irons and you don't know what to do with them, they look pretty handsome in those pods. As like a true
complimentary colors as makes well, sense. I think.
Yeah, it also works. Yeah. I like the Techno Viper in the box art as well. That's nice because you're deploying an engineer into the field. Like, you could use a Mumba as an assist vehicle, not just for attack. You can bring Techno Vipers into the field to repair, you know, field repairs, field stuff. Even from a video game thinking, that looks like fun too. So
yeah.
I neglected to mention, but in the very second outing that the Mumbas had in the comic books. So remember I said that Fred 7, Cobra Commander, got in his pogo and took one out? Well, the very next time, he's actually commanding a Mumba. He's it's over the cold Frusenland, probably a stand-in for one of the Scandinavian countries, where Cobra Command is selling pterodromes that induce paranoia in G.I. Joe and the locals. And commanding the Cobra forces of his tanks and maggots is none other than Battle Armor Cobra Commander Fred 7, and he's in one of the pods on a Mumba.
Excellent. Because he knows he can survive it crashing with that armor on.
Yeah.
I know what the weaknesses of these things are. I took one out in a pogo. But yeah, it's a fun little reversal. He goes from destroying them to piloting them. Commanding them. Guys, shortcomings notwithstanding, and there are a few. I mean, it's awkward to get figures into this thing. It has balance issues. The bombs and missiles are flaky at best. I still can't give this thing any less than a 4 out of 5. It is in a category of its own in terms of Cobra attack helicopters. It's big. It's a substantial toy. It has that interesting rotor meshing feature. It is packed with features. Bomb dropping mechanisms. Two different kinds. Like the central one, using the cage, is brilliant.
It's fun to release your bomb.
It's spring-loaded, so it will always snap back into position after you've released the bomb. What is your feel on the rotor spin mechanism? Mine, I need to use putty.
Yeah, Stephen unfortunately has to. Stephen, I think, gave himself first pick, and he thought that the version that he chose was the best version. But mine stay on pretty well. I mean, they are kind of like stress points, I think, kind of appearing on the little clip things that the rotor is attached to. But generally mine, actually, after the first couple of spins, once it kind of gets into alignment.
He says that as they clatter together.
Generally, well, I think they will continue to spin without any, like, general.
However, I'm going to say that if you mount them with putty, they're not going anywhere, and you can spin them aggressively immediately.
So absolutely. I'm sure.
It saves this toy a
big difference.
Paul, how about you, man? Where do you rate this vehicle?
I'm on the 4.5 camp. It's got some finicky things like the bombs and stuff that I mentioned. And the very scary clack of removing the mold pods from the Mamba is never something that I feel comfortable with. But all of the sins are made up for by having an incredible included pilot figure and the most amazing detail, like, that this thing, it's got more detail on it than it deserves to have, and it's well designed and well put together, and it's an unusual vehicle, and it's a much needed Cobra gunship. So a lot of these things factor into me really just loving it. This is why I wanted it in the first place, because I wanted air superiority for my Cobra.
Yeah.
Or at least a gunship for Cobra. And I've been satisfied ever since, man. I also feel like this is kind of, as much as it's like kind of popular, I still feel that Mamba's fairly underrated. I feel it's one of those vehicles that we're not seeing it in pop culture outside of maybe one NES game and the mobile game, because this vehicle does not get the respect it deserves. So I'm hoping in future iterations of G.I. Joe video games and media that we do see more Mamba. It's also really difficult to animate, I'm sure. So,
absolutely. I'd definitely give it a 4.5. I mean, I probably would give it 5. But, you know, we've got to say that sometimes. But, like, it was always awesome. Like, it just has such a cool profile. The purple is a beautiful color. It looks mean. It looks Cobra. Like, when I think Cobra aircraft, I don't think Rattler. I mean, like, the version I own isn't even the blue version that it originally came in. So my truest, and actually probably, yeah, I mean, other than the Firebat, it's my original Firebat, my only actual vintage, well, other than the, what's it called again? The blue one.
The Avalanche. Beetle.
Yeah.
That is the arcade game.
Yeah, that's in the arcade game. But I mean, I think still, to me, this feels more premier. It feels more quintessentially Cobra Air. Than anything else that I own and that I've seen, I think. You know, until they make that awesome, you know, helicopter that can hold tons of dudes in it.
Ooh, come on.
I don't know if I'd have as much fun with that thing. Rob, you just mentioned the profile now. I kind of have to throw this out for our viewers and listeners before Steve takes us out the door, takes us to the next point. You mentioned the profile. The Mamba is the reason that I actually hang vehicles up on the shelf in my folks' place. Mm. So, because when you see the Mamba from the side, it's pretty cuck. It's not the prettiest looking thing. From the front, it looks amazing. From the back, it looks amazing. From the top, it looks amazing. But it's so long that when you try to put it on most shelves, you can't actually put it that you see it directly from a front profile. You're always seeing a bit of a three-quarter view from the side, and it just looks ugly. So then I had to hang it from something so that it has a proper, like, angled...
It deserves to be hung, I think, yeah. And it deserves, it deserves to be display it.
Yeah, because it has no landing gear either, which is a bit of an oddball thing, but...
Yeah. I just circled back to the point that I made at the outset, and that's, yes, it has all these design quirks and issues, but I think we can forgive them for what is gained with the Mamba, which is a signature Cobra vehicle at long last, something that does not look like anything else in our world, and that is definitely commendable. I think it's time to head out the door, guys. If you don't have a Mamba, oh man, you're missing out.
Do it, go and get one, please. Great. Do
Mamba, what you gonna do?
We're gonna play out with the extended sequence of us playing with our Mambas. So if you are checking out the YouTube version, you will be treated to three boys playing in the sands of Cape Town with two Mambas and a Skystorm helicopter. Enjoy.
And a funny hat. This is...
Well done, Paul. You had to keep sun safe, bro. It's really like It's harsh.
It's not that. It's my eyes.
Wind. But as always, we thank our patrons. You guys are awesome.
Sexy creatures. Thank you very much.
All of you.
And I think that's it. We're out. Yo, Joe.
What you gonna do when they come for you? Give me your number, my number.